Bible reading can be found in the church Bibles on page 1063, and it's the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 to verse 14. 1063 in the church Bibles, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Do you leave your Bibles open to John chapter 1? Let's open in prayer. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is powerful, it is effective, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is given by inspiration, and it is sufficient. And as we give attention to your written word, we pray that you would reveal to us more clearly and deeply the Word made flesh, that we would learn more about who he is and what he has done and how we ought to trust and worship him. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So about a month ago, I saw this on the internet, and I thought it captured the run-up to Christmas in a remarkably succinct way. The caption reads, "There are two kinds of people when Christmas decorations appear in the shops." And below the caption, in the first box, was a picture of Will Ferrell playing the ever-cheerful Buddy the Elf from the movie Elf. And then in the second box was a picture of a grim and stoic King Theoden from Lord of the Rings, who declares with impending doom, "So it begins." And I do think this does capture the run-up to Christmas. Because on the one hand, the Christmas season is a time when we express our greatest hopes. At Christmas, we look forward to enjoying life and connecting with family, and most of us look forward to being captivated by the true meaning of Christmas. But at the same time, Christmas can be a season when our fault lines are exposed. Because it's often at Christmas that we fall out with loved ones, that we miss those who are no longer with us. And at Christmas, it can be a time when our darkest impulses seem to take over. So every year you see these shocking scenes on the TV of two moms fighting over a toy at a shop because it's the last one in a mad rush to buy last-minute gifts. And so, yes, Christmas can be a season when we express our greatest hopes, but it can also be a season when our ugliness is also exposed. And as we reflect on that contrast today, we're going to be looking at a passage from the Bible where the Apostle John gives us a picture of why we desperately need Jesus, not just at Christmas, but throughout the year. Because in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, John first demonstrates who Jesus is, then he demonstrates why we need Jesus, and finally he describes how Jesus came into the mess of our world in order to bring us into God's family. So with that in mind, let's look first to John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, which says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines into the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it." Now, when we think about God, it can often be difficult for us to picture what's God actually like. So we might ask, well, who is God? And if he is out there, how do I get access to him? Well, the Bible's response to those questions is clear. The Bible says that God has revealed himself to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And in John's Gospel, the relationship between Jesus and God is explained like this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, in these verses, in poetic language, John describes Jesus as the Word. We know that Jesus is the Word that John is talking about here, because later on in verse 14, John says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus is God's Word, his message to us in the flesh. And a couple weeks ago, Jeremy shared with us about how this word for the Word in the original Greek is the word logos. Interestingly, the word logos is where we get our modern word logo from. Now, a logo is a visible sign that represents something else. So, for example, what is this here? Let's have a look. What's that? Quickly. Rolling Stones, absolutely. How about this next one? Shell gas, yeah. Petrol, you know, going to the petrol station, right? What about the next one? Apple, Macintosh. Yeah, we know this, right? Well, Jesus is God's logo. Jesus is the perfect logo for God because he is God in the flesh. Colossians 1, verse 15 puts it this way: Jesus Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. That means if you want to know what God is like, all you have to do is look to Jesus. He expresses God perfectly. Hebrews 1, 3 puts it this way: Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. So in the same way that heat and light radiate from the sun, bringing life-warming warmth and energy to us, allowing us to enjoy the sun, to engage with the sun, Jesus is the same way. Jesus radiates God's glory. Jesus brings God's glory to us. Jesus is the perfect representation of God because he is God in the flesh. He is God's final word to us. And so if you're someone who wants to be captivated by the true meaning of Christmas, Jesus is the person who you need to be captivated by. Because at Christmas, we celebrate the miracle that God's Son, his eternal word, who was there from the very beginning, who created all that there is, who's the source of all life, that this word has come to us. The captivating message of Christmas is that God himself has entered into our world like a light that shines down into the darkness. God has reached out into our world and revealed himself through his Son. And that is absolutely fabulously good news, because it means that God isn't some hazy, distant figure. God's not an absentee parent who's too busy to give us any FaceTime and only kind of checks in with us a couple times a year. God's not just an idea or a theological concept that we kind of bat around. The good news that we celebrate at Christmas is that God himself came into the world. He made himself known through his Son. And for those of us who are wanting to connect with God, this is really good news because it takes all the guesswork out of trying to figure out who God is. It means that you don't have to read 1,000 theological books until you've figured it all out. You don't have to understand why everything happens the way that it does. You don't have to clean yourself up in order to get God to notice you. The good news of Christmas is that you don't have to grasp in the dark for God, because he's reached out to us. He sent his Son to us. And so if you want to know God, all you have to do is look to Jesus. And if you've never really taken a closer look at who Jesus is, I do think it's legitimate to ask, well, how do I actually do that? How do I take a closer look at Jesus? Can I suggest that a good starting point is to look at what the Bible says about Jesus? The Bible is the very best source we have on Jesus' life. The New Testament begins with four biographical accounts of Jesus' life. And these accounts are named after the authors who wrote them. All four gospel accounts are primary sources written within the first 100 years, first century, within a lifetime of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And if along the way you're reading the gospels and you've got questions, on the bookstall we've got tons of little Bible study notes that can help you along. And I'd encourage you, pick one of those up, but also read one of those with a Christian friend who maybe knows a little bit more than you, and write your questions down. Ask them the questions that you've got. I would encourage you, though, getting to know Christ is not like speed dating. It's not like you go, okay, let me figure this thing out about Jesus and then move on to the next thing. No, it takes a bit of time. It's something that you want to marinate in. And so I'd encourage you, it might take a few months to figure out what it is you think about the Bible, but I'd encourage you to do that. And it's okay if you've got doubts. But even if you've got doubts, it's worth taking a closer look at Jesus. Because even if you're not yet convinced about what the Bible says, surely it would be madness just to ignore Jesus. To say, oh, I'm just not interested in this. It would be madness to ignore Jesus without spending the time to get to know him. And for those of us who do know Christ, a good question we might ask ourselves is, are we captivated by him? I know that for some of us, maybe we do feel like King Theoden from Lord of the Rings. That Christmas is something that we endure rather than celebrate. If that's how you feel, Jesus is calling you to look past the tinsel and the presents and the mince pies and the Amazon boxes and look to him. Spend time with him. This morning, we've started the first chapter of John's Gospel. It might be that over the next few weeks, you continue reading this Gospel with the goal of reconnecting with Jesus. Because he is God's definitive and final word to us. And as we continue in our passage, it becomes really clear that we do need Jesus. Read with me verses 4 and 5 from John chapter 1, which says this. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood, or you could translate that, overcome it. In these verses, Jesus' arrival into the world is described as being like a light that shines into the darkness, which is fitting. Because most of us will recognize that the world that we live in is actually a pretty dark place. Now think about it. We live in Jersey, right? Well, some of us live in Jersey. Some of us are on holiday in Jersey right now. But Jersey is supposed to be the perfect place, isn't it? It's the place where there are no problems, right? That's what we're told. You listen to the radio, what it says, we love living in Jersey, or whatever their slogan is. It's a great place, right? And yet, last week alone, if you were to look at the local newspaper, you'd see that it reported about historic child abuse cases here in Jersey. 3 sexual assaults, 2 other major sexually motivated crimes, a handful of assaults that were quite serious, a couple of cases of fraud, and about 24 other reported crimes. All of this, right here, just 1 week, just local news. And it was the week before Christmas, the week where, we're supposed to be nice and not naughty. The evidence is clear. The world that we live in is a pretty dark place. And we are complicit in that darkness. Here's what Jesus says a little bit later in John's gospel. This comes from John chapter 3, verse 19. It's on the screens. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. See, if we're honest, the reason why the world is a dark place is because the world is filled with people who love darkness instead of life. The world is filled with people who do things that are evil. And we are those people. Now, maybe you're not one of those people. Maybe you're a perfect person. If you're a perfect person, by the way, you don't need to be here today. You don't need Jesus. You don't need to come to church. Just go home and be perfect. You don't need to be here. But for the rest of us, we do need Jesus. Because we can't escape the darkness on our own. You don't believe me? Just try. Try to spend one day in the light. One day in the light where all of your thoughts are perfect. One day in the light in which all of your motives just shine absolutely pure and clear. Try to spend a day where your actions are just impeccable. I bet you can't do it. I know I can't. Because we can't escape the darkness of our sinful natures. The verdict is in. This is Jesus' words. We love darkness instead of light. Our deeds are evil. But Jesus, He is the light that shines into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome Him. Jesus came into this world, and He lived the perfect life. In Him, there are no shadows, no moral failings, no falsehood, just light all the way through. And Jesus, the eternal, life-giving light, came into this world saying, I am the light of life. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, they will have the light of life. If you follow Jesus Christ, you don't have to walk in darkness. You can have the light of life. Every year in the autumn, I put a little countdown in my diary. It's called the 100 Days of Darkness Countdown. It's aptly named because I count down the 100 darkest days of the year. Because if you know me, you know that if it's bright outside, I'm a happy chappy. But if it's dark, things just kind of fall apart. I don't like darkness. I don't like gloomy weather. Today is not great for me. Okay? And to help me along in the 100 days of darkness, by the way, I come from a country where it's just light all the time, okay? We have this thing called the sun. It's in the sky. It's really great. You'll see it in about 6 months' time. My wife, she loves me, so she decided she was going to buy me something to help me through the 100 days of darkness. She bought me something called a Lumi, okay? And the Lumi is an alarm clock that wakes you up with so-called natural light, and it's supposed to kind of radiate in, you know? And at first, to be honest, we put it in our bedroom, and we absolutely hated it. Because you wake up, and it's whoom, you're like, oh, gosh, it's really light. Yeah? At 6 a.m., the room was filled with this really bright light. And at that time of day, to be honest, I liked the darkness. But you know what? To be honest, now I actually love the Lumi. You get used to the cadence of it. Because it means I'm actually waking up in the light the way you're supposed to, apparently. Well, listen, spiritually, if you don't have Christ in your life, you're not living in 100 days of darkness. You're living in darkness. Full stop. And some of us have lived in darkness so long that it's comfortable to us. And we don't like the idea of turning to Jesus in faith. It's not because we don't believe it. We believe it. We know that it's true. We just know that if we do turn to Christ in faith, it means that inevitably we're going to have to walk in the light. Things will get exposed. It means that our lives will suddenly be exposed to light. But many of us are just tired of living in the darkness. And we know that light is what we need. Jesus is the light of life. And so the question this morning is simple. Right now, are you living in darkness? Is your soul empty and aching and desperate for life and light? If your answer is yes, there is good news. Jesus is the light that penetrates and overcomes the darkness. Jesus, the eternal Word of God, is the one who can fill us with light and life. At this point, you might go, well, how? How do I receive the life found in Christ? How do I enter into the light? Well, John answers that question for us in verses 9 to 14 of our passage. Let's take a look, starting at verse 9. John writes this: "The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God." The Bible says that Jesus, the true light of every man, has come into this world, and yet what the Bible says here is that not everyone has received him. That even his own, the Jews of his day, did not receive him. And this is true today too, isn't it? I mean, there are people today who will just out and out refuse to receive Jesus. You know? It was funny, we were on the streets of St. Helier on Thursday night, and they were singing carols and Nick proclaimed the gospel out in public, which, by the way, is a quite scary thing to do. And I was watching Nick doing a fabulous job of proclaiming the gospel, but I was also looking outward and watching people walk by, and I saw a couple people look and go, and then walk on by. You know? Just reject it. Yet to all who do receive Jesus, for all who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Let's not let that pass over us. Just think about that for a second. Each and every one of us has rejected God. We walk in darkness. The Bible says that we choose darkness and that we love it, that we're at odds with God, that we are, in fact, God's enemies. And God's response to this treasonous rebellion was to send his son to save his people. And he invites us, rebellious enemies, to come and be a part of his family. Jesus gave us the right to become children of God. And that right comes to us, not because we come from a long line of religious people, you know, like because you know, everyone in our family has gone to church forever and ever. No, that's not how we become children of God. It's not because we choose to go to church. You know, I'm at church every week, and therefore that's what makes me right with God. No, that's not it. It's not because our parents or our spouses are Christians. No. Our salvation is due to God alone. God saves us by grace, by his unmerited favor. He invites us into his family through his Son. And when we receive and believe in his Son, we're given new life. We're born again. We're born into this new family. And we don't have to do anything to earn or inherit our salvation because Jesus is the source and the substance and the author of our salvation. Which means that all we have to do is receive God's favor, to receive and believe in God's Son. And so the next question is actually quite simple. Have you done that? Have you received Christ as your King? Is he the one who you've put your trust in for your salvation? Can I urge you to receive Jesus Christ as your King and Savior if you haven't done so? To believe on his name. To believe that Jesus is God's final message to us because he is God in the flesh. To trust that God wants to be involved in our lives, especially the details of our lives. And he's not just some distant force, but rather, as verse 14 says, the Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. He lives amongst us. He came. He experienced all of life that we experienced. And that means that through Jesus, God communicates with us, not just with words, but by actually being with us. God came in the flesh. And God wants you to walk with him now. To walk in the light and to leave the darkness. And the promise of the Bible is that if you believe in Jesus' name, if you trust what is revealed about Jesus in the Bible, if you believe these things, God promises to receive you into his family as one of his own. As we close this morning, it's worth restating the obvious. Christmas can be a season when we express our greatest hopes, but it can also be a season when our ugliness is exposed. Christmas has the potential for both light and darkness. It has the potential for both the glorious and the grim. But most of all, Christmas is about what God has done. At Christmas, we celebrate the good news that God has spoken to us. God sent his eternal word into the world. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is the visible image of the invisible God. He is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. And this glorious one has come into the world like light in the darkness. He came to shine light into every shadowy area of our lives. And he came on a mission to save us. Jesus came into the mess of our world in order to bring us into God's family, to show us God's glory. And all we have to do is receive and believe in Jesus. That is the good news. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we've only scratched the surface today. We could spend a month of Sundays in John chapter 1 and still not understand the richness of your word. But we pray that we would know and trust and worship the glorious one, the one who is the Word, the true light, the Savior, the Messiah, your Son, our Lord Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.